hope you enjoy this message from Eastside C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Pray, eh? Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can come and you turn up in power. That this isn't just boring old church, this is power. This is relevant. This is what you came, you sent Jesus to come to this earth for. To demonstrate your power and your love. So Father, let us be a church that always has your love and your power for people when they walk in these doors. And even when they're out there, Lord God, give us compassion for them. For the stuff that's going on in those streets, Lord God. Make us aware. And as we get into your word, Lord God, let lives be changed. Let people come out, go out of these doors today, more in love with you, Jesus. Amen. Awesome. Great. I'm nervous. Why am I nervous? Yeah. Join a connect group. If you're not in the connect group, join a connect group. It's more than just Sunday mornings. I know I get paid to do church every minute of the day, every day of the week, and every day of the year, but just get hooked into a connect group and groups and have fun together. Back in 1999, I was in this church with my hand in the air, and I didn't know what I was doing. I just turned up and I started worshipping God I didn't know. And that Sunday night, I started asking God questions because I didn't have a clue. I thought, what's all this about? Why have I got my hand in the air? And because I just put my hand in the air when worship started playing, first time I was in the church. And I was driving home, I'm asking God questions, who is Jesus? Someone mentioned Jesus, and all I knew is a wee baby. It was at Christmas time. Who is Jesus? And then, who is the Holy Spirit? And I couldn't work things out, and I'm asking God all these questions. See, for 44 years, I didn't know who even God was, or anything about God. I didn't believe in God at all. And the minute I started believing in God, I started bombarding God with questions every day. I got to know what's going on, what's happening here, what's this all about. And I got most of the answers at the beginning out of the Bible. Out of John. So if you don't know a lot, get in the book of John. It's an awesome place to start. Anyhow, Matthew 19, there's this young man they call a rich young ruler. And he asks Jesus a question. And it's most likely the most important question you can ever ask Jesus in your life. It says in verse 16, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?'" In other words, he said, how do I get into heaven? How do I get a guarantee that I'm going to get in there when my time's up? How do I get in? How do I get in? It says in verse 17, "So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' And he said to him, 'Which ones?' He must have known he was more than one. And he says, in other words, he says, I know all these commandments, Jesus. I know about them. And you don't expect me to keep the whole lot, do you? The whole 10? Everyone lies. Everyone flogs something. Paperclip, church pen. Everyone flogs things. You can't help it but flog things, can you? Got to bring all those electric guitars back, don't I? And Jesus said, you shall not murder. Oh, I've got to hear myself. He's most likely saying to God, what's negotiable here? He wants to negotiate with Jesus. So what's negotiable? We're just humans, aren't we? But what's off limits? Because Jesus knows we're human, but he wants to know what's off limits. It's just a pen. Just a pen. And Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honour your mother, sorry, your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbour as yourself. Jesus tells this dude the obvious ones, doesn't he? And says, you get all six of these, you're good, you're in. You're on your way. You're on your way. In verse 20, the young man said to him, all these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack? See, he believed he'd done all. And Jesus said to him, you only just told him the ones he had to keep. Why? Because he's most likely brought up in religion, eh? He's most likely brought up in having to do the best, be the best, try hard, and never feeling really good about himself. In verse 21, it says, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, man, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. I love this. Jesus doesn't say, you have to be perfect. He said to the young guy, if you want to be perfect, you need to empty your bank account, sell your house, your car, and give everything to the poor. I bet that young guy wished he hadn't have said, what do I still lack? Hey, imagine saying that. Sometimes we ask God a question and we don't really want to hear the answer, do we, eh? When Jesus says you just need to do this, why do we think there must be more to do? When Jesus says just believe in me, why do we think there's more to do? Why do we try so hard? But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This guy had a lot of stuff that was keeping him from making Jesus his number one. Everywhere Jesus went, people asked him questions, like I do. And many a time he answered those questions with another question. Jesus was great at that. Good teacher, what must I do? Jesus replies, why call me good? If you're like me, I just want a straight answer from God most of the times. I don't want a riddle. I'm useless at it. I'm useless at trying to work out what the number plates mean on the back of cars. It's okay to ask God questions. God is not offended by your questions. He's not put off by you asking him things every day. Like this young man, this rich young man. How many rules do I have to obey, Jesus, today? Ask him. He's not put off. He's not put off by you asking why them and not me. Why did they get healed and I didn't get healed? Why do they fall over and I'm standing and I want that and I don't fall over? Why them and not me? Sometimes you ask the question, why me and not them? You don't have to fake it in this church, you know. You can be real here. God is not offended by your questions. Sometimes I are, and I shouldn't be because I don't know the answers. Some people ask me questions, I haven't got a clue. Especially maths, eh? I'm good at maths. Anyhow, verse 16 says, now behold, one came. I want to read this as a key verse. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Jesus may have been thinking here, are you calling me God because I'm good? Or are you calling me good because you heard I was a moral, upright person? See, Jesus cares who you think he is. He cares who you think he is. He doesn't care who they think he is, but he cares who you think he is. See, before he can answer your questions, before he can answer your prayers, he needs to know who you say he is. What's your opinion of Jesus? What's your opinion of him? If you believe that God is an angry God, an angry father, it's going to affect the way how you receive his blessings and his answers. You will be thinking every blessing he gives you has a condition attached. If I give enough, my life will go better. If I serve enough, God might not get ticked off with me every time I make a mistake. So do you think that God wants to steal your fun? Do you think he's a God with all these rules you can never keep? And that's what you think if you think he's an angry father. But if you think he's a good father, it says in the Bible, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, which he is, you will know every good and perfect gift comes from him. You will know that the 1,785 promises in the Bible are for you. If you think he's a good father, you'll know he will never leave you or forsake you. He cares what you think about him, who you say he is. And then the young man said to Jesus, "What good thing shall I do that I'll be able to get into heaven?" He doesn't say, "What good things shall I do?" He says, "What good thing shall I do?" Funny creatures, aren't we? Human beings. Sometimes the more we have, the least we want to do. See, like the story I tell about my packet of ginger nuts that I used to give to the church when I first got saved because I thought it was for my tithe. I used to drop the packet of ginger nuts off and think, man, I've done good today. Church is going to be blessed. I bought them retail at the dairy. Didn't buy them from Pack and Save. Bought them from the retail. But I don't do that anymore. I don't give ginger nuts. I give chocolate fingers, you might have noticed. See, some of the most generous people I know have the least. Have the least. They don't say, "What thing do you want me to do?" They say, "What things would you like me to do?" Verse 16, this young man asked, "What do I have to do to get eternal life?" I want to go back to verse 17 again. He said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life," see that life, "keep the commandments." See, this young man asked about eternal life. And Jesus comes up and says, he doesn't mention the word eternal here. He says, "If you want to enter into life." The man wanted to go to heaven, wanted to know how he could get to heaven and have eternal life. Jesus wants to tell him how to have life here on earth. That's what it's about. It's not about eternal life, and it's about life. See, so many of the people in our community out there and even in here are breathing but don't have life. It's weird. We've made Christianity about death. About getting into heaven. We want people saved so that they have eternal life, and that's right, and that's great, and that's good. But we need to see people saved following Jesus so they can have a life here, right now. When I talk about reaching the community, about our 1K vision around this church to get people saved, healed, and set free, it's not about getting them into heaven. I'm not talking about that. It's about having an encounter with God, having an encounter with Jesus. And out of that encounter, lives are changed. Addictions broken. Minds renewed. Lives renewed. Relationships restored. Body, mind, and spirit healed. And it's not all. You get a bonus. You get eternal life as well. See, when you get to know Jesus, when you ask Jesus in your life, for me, if someone asks Jesus in life in the community and they come in and they're on addictions, I feel, okay, God can work on them and change that addiction. If someone's in poverty and they become a Christian and they ask Jesus in their life, they're mixing with people that teaches them about budgeting and life and what to spend and spend your money on good stuff, and all of a sudden you get out of poverty. That's what Christianity is about. Jesus says, my favourite verse, pastors always have hundreds of favourite verses, but Jesus came so we may have life and life more abundant. See, this rich young ruler had everything. He was a ruler. He had power. He was rich. He had no money worries. He was young, had no problem pulling the chicks. And a lot of us would say, man, this is an abundant life, wouldn't you? Rich, powerful, pulling the chicks. We're just young. Abundant life, just being young. But he knew he was missing something, this guy. He had everything that we would think enough, and he was missing something. In his heart was this gaping hole. The power couldn't fill, the money couldn't fill, and the youthfulness and the woman couldn't fill. But pressing on his mind all the time was, what happens when I die? How can I keep all the stuff that I've got? How can I live like this forever? He thought that stuff would fill the gaping hole in his life that only God can fill. Verse 29, and Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Wow. Following the rules was easy. Slip up a few times, but did my best. Don't kill anyone, never done that. Don't sleep with someone else's wife, never done that. Love mum and dad, doing my best. But Jesus says, sell everything. Give the money away and follow me. That ain't being perfect in my mind. No way. Sometimes to fill the gap, I'd love to put a different word in here. Sometimes to fill the gap, you've got to get rid of the scrap. Got to get rid of the scrap. Fill that gap in here. The scrap and the crap have got to go. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He couldn't do it. He couldn't give away all he had to get something he desperately needed. He couldn't do it. Just like that rich young man, there's things in our lives God asks us to give up, to put down, to put aside and follow him. And it's different for all of us. There's not one rule. It's different for all of us. But God knows what you need and don't need to enter into the life that he's offering, that abundant life. See, Andy, one of the guys in our church, he's away at the moment. You know, he told me when he first became a Christian, he played golf every day. He was on a 5 or 6 handicap. He was a great golfer. And God said, give up golf. And he put the golf down, put golf sticks down. You know, and then many years later, he starts playing again. Kelvin, the pastor, he talks about God saying, give up surfing. You know, he surfed right up till he got saved. God says, give up surfing, gives up surfing. Some people, another guy in this church I hear this morning, said God said, give up playing secular music completely. He's given up playing secular music. That's for them, not for you. You keep playing golf, you go surfing, you play secular music, you do what you do. But when God says, I need you to put that aside, you need to put aside because you're putting that in place of him. I have the band up. I'm going to finish really quickly here. Thank you. I want you to get this. Abundant life is not about what we have. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. You think it's about what we have. You think if you're sitting pretty, no mortgage, got a great car, boat, beautiful wife, that's abundant life. It's not about that. That's all cool. Get that if you can. But ain't that. It's not about what we get either. It's not about what we claim. Ultimately, abundant life is about what we receive as a gift from God and live knowing we are stewards of that blessing in our lives. We know we have an abundant life when we are all in. That's what the name of the sermon says, all in. We know we're having abundant life when we're all in. When we have shared our life with others. We've had enough of the blessing of God, like his mercy and his peace and his love and his grace and his wisdom and his finances and his gifts that he gives us. Once we've had enough of that, and then we share it with others. And we actually do share it with others. That's when we truly have an abundant life.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.